Our gospel today is the 10th chapter of Luke, beginning with verse 38. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus and his disciples went on their way, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. And she had a sister named Mary who sat at Jesus' feet listening to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left all the work to me? Tell her then to help me." And Jesus answered her, "Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Oh, please be seated. Praise to you, O Jesus Christ. And we changed the words there, didn't we? would like the children to head on out for worship. Children, they'll be back there in the comfy chairs. And the story is overscheduled Andrew. And Georgina Norman is going to be reading. Is Gloria going to join you? Maybe. Oh, well, they had talked about that. Anyway, they just go back there, and what they do is they hear a children's story that's related to the gospel, and they also hear a retelling of the gospel, a rereading of the gospel in simpler words, you might say. It was so exciting. Jesus and his disciples were in town. And from the other gospel text, we know that Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus became good friends with Jesus. So I'm not exactly sure how far into the relationship, but Martha was all excited because Jesus was in town. Of course, it wasn't the kind of thing where she'd gotten a cell phone call the day before saying, "Oh, by the way, I'll be in town tomorrow." No, it's like word quickly spread through the village that Jesus had come. And so she immediately went into, "Oh my gosh, got to get everything ready. Our friend, our Savior, our Lord is here with his disciples. Oh my gosh. Fortunately, the house is kind of clean, but there is so much food to prepare just to give a proper welcome, to prepare a wonderful place so that Jesus may feel at home and feel welcomed and honored, and also those that are with him and those that come to hear him may all not be distracted by what isn't there, but may be able to focus on Jesus and his words." So those of you that are used to entertaining, no, especially if you have not uninvited guests, but kind of guests that show up all of a sudden, there's a lot to do. There's so much work to do. And you can imagine Martha just going, "Okay, fortunately, I think we have enough bread. Maybe I'll ask the neighbor to send some more over. Oh, we got to get the lentils on. The hummus still needs to be prepared. Oh, where's the fine china? Good gosh. That's right. Got to get that. The laundry list of things to do." And so she's getting ready, and here Jesus shows up, and there's still work to do. But she invites them into her home, and as Jesus settles down and starts talking, and others that are gathered there get them drinks, stuff like that, and then start preparing the meal, scrambling, and then all of a sudden it's like there's too much work, and where is my sister? Where is my sister? Doesn't she know all the stuff that we need to do in order to have Jesus really have a good experience here, to be honored and welcome, to be good hosts? Where is she? Oh, she's doing that thing again. She always leaves it to me. And so the faster she worked, the more she worked, the more resentful and angry and upset she got, because she was having to do all the work that needed to be done. And where was Mary? Oh my gosh, she's just sitting in there listening to Jesus. Finally, Martha had enough. Goes in there, "Jesus, excuse me, Jesus, can you stop talking about love and grace for a second? And tell Mary to get off her butt and come help me? What happened? What happened between, oh my gosh, Jesus, my friend, my Lord, my Savior is coming and I need to welcome him, to cutting off Jesus and laying into her sister about what she should do? Does this feel at all familiar to anybody? Yeah, the one in our household who, when guests are coming, kind of clicks on all this stuff is primarily Pastor Laura. And I'm learning, though. I'm learning. I do my own kind of preparation, but my list of things to do is always much shorter than hers. But one way of understanding kind of what happened to Martha, or what Martha did, is she lost sight, main thing. She lost sight of the main thing. And it kind of happens when we're clear, when we're focused on what is important, what's primary, what's essential, and then when we're clear on that, then the things we do are in line with that. But very often, we may be clear on that an hour ago, or a day ago, or a week ago, or a month ago. And what happens is, as our laundry list, our to-do list of things that need to do in line with what is important gets longer and longer, we lose sight of the most important thing. At my last congregation, there was a woman who was, she was in charge of the altar guild. And she spent a lot of time, was very focused on kind of the right thing, right way things were supposed to be put up there, and things you should do and shouldn't do. Like, she would know exactly which one of these candles you're supposed to light first. Because there's all kinds of altar guild books, and some of you may have encountered them, that say this is the right way to do this, et cetera, et cetera. Well, early on, after I'd gotten there, I noticed that there's this large bouquet that was right outside the sanctuary doors. So imagine there's a credenza right outside the doors, and there's a large bouquet on it. So I just like, I'm curious, where did this come from, and why is it here? And then I heard the story about how there's a wedding. And I'm not sure if it was the bride or the bride's mother or the groom's mother or someone else that was doing the decorations. But they had bought this rather large, from my eyes, beautiful flower arrangement. But it was artificial. And so when they came to place it on the altar, they were informed that only fresh cut flowers with no dirt were allowed on the altar. Now, this happened before I'd gotten there, but in kind of watching this person in our congregation, I strongly suspect that it was not a smooth conversation. Like, if you have plans for something, I mean, imagine you're planning your wedding and you have this idea what it's going to look like and you have it all worked out. And then all of a sudden, you find out that kind of one of the main things you focused on, it's like not allowed. It doesn't go well. And now, this woman was, I would say, she lost sight of the main thing. It's the main thing to make sure that the altar is done according to all the rules in the Altar Guild book. I would say no. The main thing is to create a space where folks are allowed to focus on God and get in touch with God. But when you lose sight of that and start drifting away and start making the secondary and tertiary and whatever those other airy levels are primary, things get out of whack. Now, I don't think I often use Greek words or Latin words here, but there's a wonderful word that kind of describes all this stuff that isn't primary. It's called adiaphora. Adiaphora. And it's a word that Luther used quite a bit. And it means those things that are not essential. And when we lose sight of the main thing, of that which is essential, and start making adiaphora primary, things go haywire. So in the case of the person in my last congregation, there were lots of bodies along the way of people who had dared to do something incorrectly around that altar. Oh, and Laura was one of those. It was around lighting the candles, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah, she was a full-fledged pastor. But that's what happened, and we do it all over the place. I mean, gosh, I don't know how many times I catch myself just wanting to wring my son's neck over something. And I have to walk myself back and say, oh, yeah, why do I want to wring my son's neck? Supposedly, I love him, and I want the best for him. Wringing his neck probably isn't going to contribute to that. But it's amazing how we just drift off. And, I mean, you see it all over the place in politics, in government. Well-meaning ideas, well-meaning people go in to serve the people, and somewhere along the way, through the kind of what the way things work, through the power of money and influence and all this kind of stuff, all of a sudden, they're doing stuff that just, it's hard to imagine how that's in line with serving the public good. Of course, okay, so it happens in the church, it happens in government, it happens in our families, it happens at work, it happens at school. Jesus, there's something that was left out, I think, of the gospel text. After Martha comes and says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work? Tell her then to help me. What's missing is that Jesus looked at her, loved her, and said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by so many things. There's need of only one thing. Yeah, what is that one thing? That is the question, isn't it? There is need of only one thing. Now, depending upon you ask, there may be different answers to that. I suspect there are. They say if you ask somebody if there's only one thing that's important, quite a few folks may say, well, money would be that. Because if without money, it's hard to make your way in the world. Or it could be relationships, or it could be family, or it could be whatever. But as Christians, as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus, I think the one thing is God, connection with our source. You can imagine God having shepherded the chosen people, the Jews, through that land, through all their trials and tribulations, saying, they're still needing the one thing. They don't know the depth of my love, the grace of my love. And how can I make it so real for them? And God became human in Jesus so that people might know, so that we might know, not only that there is a God, but that God is loving and gracious, that God wants life abundant for us, that God loves us so dearly that God would give God's life so that we might know that this relationship is possible, that this relationship is real. As I've pondered, what is that one thing? That's what I've come up with. And I'm open to lots of conversation about nuances or whether you have a substitute. But if that is the one thing, why do we have such a hard time keeping the main thing the main thing? Part of it is just being human. Life comes at us. We get distracted. We lose sight. But then there's also a big What's that word? Faith, trust, belief. Do we trust God enough to keep making following Jesus and being in that connection with the source the main thing? And I think part of that scares us. And it should. Because if we relate to Jesus as the main thing and pattern our lives according to Jesus' life, he says some tough things. It begins with love your neighbor, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But one way of summing up all that he says, that if you want to live, really live, you have to give your life away. That's scary. Because if our common sense says if we give our life away, then we have no life left. But I think that is the key to the kingdom. That is the words. It is the good news that Jesus came to tell us. If we will risk giving our life away, usually I use the word love to describe that process. The promise is you will gain your life. But boy, is that takes something, doesn't it? And part of our life is constantly taking that risk, going, oh, here I want to hang on and hang on to what I've got, because do I really trust that God will give me life if I give my life away? And part of the work is constantly risking that. Now, let's see, Scott's sitting there really thinking hard with his eyes closed. I wish I could go up to Scott and say, Scott, this is what it looks like for you to give your life away. But actually, I can't tell him what that looks like. I can't tell Richard. I have some coaching I can give. I can say, yes, there's a promise out there. But for you in your situation, you and your family, you and your marital relationship, you with your kids, with your parents, with your schooling, with your work, with your play, with your possessions, all of that stuff. That is your inquiry. The invitation today is when you catch yourself, though, making the adiaphora stuff, all that stuff that's way out on the fringes, kind of the main thing. And the best way to catch yourself is when you're getting resentful, irritated, angry, upset, hateful. Those are the keys to recognize when you've drifted off center. Because that means whatever's going on up here is not of the Spirit. And that's a time to, you know, when you're about to kill your coworker. I hope you're not about to kill your coworker. Don't kill your coworker. But when you find yourself in one of those funks, it's time to question, okay, what is the main thing here? It's time to get recentered, regrounded, reconnected with the source of it all. Martha was angry at Mary because Mary was sitting there at Jesus' feet. Boy, don't we want to be able to say, you know, if it was me and my brother or sister there when Jesus came to show up, we'd be the ones at Jesus' feet. But boy, if we're honest with ourselves, chances are, we might have been in the kitchen too, getting angry at the people that were sitting there listening to Jesus. Because what was Mary doing? In essence, she was allowing herself to be in the presence of God, listening to God. The words we use for that today are prayer, Bible study. We have the ongoing opportunity to be and sit at Jesus' feet and listen to what Jesus is saying and to get connected. And it pulls us back from wherever we've gone. Keeping the main thing is what will bring life. If that main thing is the main thing. And so, if you're full and frustrated with all this stupid work that the teacher's making you do and not sure you can do it, remembering that the main thing, oh yeah, I'm gaining learning so that I can be a productive, useful member of society, somebody who's following my passion and can be a benefit to others. All of a sudden, things change. If you're in the kitchen angry at all those people that aren't helping you, it's like, why am I doing this? Oh, yes. for my family, for my friends, for these visitors, so that they might know that the goodness I receive from God is also available to them. Wherever you are in your life, in this congregation, when you're so frustrated at all those people that aren't doing what they're supposed to do, it's like, why am I doing this anyway? Oh, yeah. It's about creating a place where we can gather. Together, focus on God. Remind ourselves of all the ways that we've forgotten what the main thing is. And to get refocused and recentered. And once we've gotten in touch with the main thing, once we've reminded ourselves of who God is and who, then the world opens up. We may be doing the same thing, but we are doing them in service. The word here used in the gospel is diakona. It says that Martha was worried about all the diakona that she was doing, all the deacon work, all the service that she was doing. When we get bitter about service, it means that we've lost track of the main thing. My prayer for you is that you may find ways to get focused on the main thing. Wherever you are, whenever you are, whoever you're with, there is always a possibility of entering into prayer, reminding yourself of Scripture, getting in touch with the one who is the source of all goodness, the source of all grace, the source of all love. When you do that, the abundant life can fill you, sustain you, propel you, make you one who is in service to God in joy and love and grace. Keep the main thing, the main thing. Amen.